Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Katie Britton. In Marie Lu's book, Legend, she created a dystopian world where the United States fractured in two and a plague ravaged the upper half. Our heroes, Day and June, narrowly escaped with their lives, but the body count behind them continued to climb. Now Lu has finished the second in the trilogy, Prodigy, and we're on the run with Day and June as they find their way to the opposition and begin to face their demons.
Absolutely. That was something that I wanted to tackle a little more in the second one, just because in the first one, they sort of get thrown together by their, it's like lust at first sight, and they have a lot of these initial feelings to get past, and book two is more about them confronting all of those problems that they sort of pushed to the bottom in the first book. And so they all sort of came to the surface in the second one.
They sure did come to the surface. And at the same time, they're still struggling with that lust at first sight. You see, Day, actually, he's accepted it, but June is so resistant.
Yeah, it's definitely a part of her personality. And the only thing that June and I have in common is that we're both really awkward with romance. And June has, I think, takes a very logical approach to the whole thing, and it kind of makes some of their exchanges a little bit awkward, where she doesn't quite know what to make of this like new feeling that she has for this boy.
You're so right in the way that we hear June's voice, and just like in the other book, we get June's perspective and we get Day's perspective, and June's is very calculated. Every bit that we see of June, she is constantly making herself aware of her surroundings, aware of the people in them, and calculating every possible move and every possible exit that she can find when she is in a situation.
Right, absolutely.
On the flip side, we have Day, who is that way, but at the same time, he kind of goes more with his gut.
Yeah, I think June and Day are sort of, they have a lot of similarities, but one of their major differences is, like you said earlier, June makes all of her decisions based on logical calculations. And so that, you know, comes in conflict all the time with love, because love is not logical at all. It's just complete emotion. And Day is sort of the flip side of that. He sort of operates based on his emotions. Every decision that he makes usually tends to do with emotions and not so much what's practical or logical. So for him, he kind of wears his heart on his sleeve. You know, like if he's angry, you see that he's angry. If he's happy, you see it right away. He's very much held by his emotions.
It seems that it throws him at first when June does go with her gut rather than the calculating process that she always has.
Oh, yes, definitely. He sort of gets used to the fact that she is this extremely calculated person. So whenever she does go with her gut, he immediately thinks there's something wrong. Like, what's happening right now? Why are you acting like this?
So they're both really stepping out of their comfort zones. I mean, right now they are on the run. To give our listeners a little bit of some background, they have escaped the Republic, which right now is the government in place in half of what used to be the United States of America.
Mm-hmm, right.
Since they're on the run together, nothing is appearing as it seems.
Right. And I think for June in particular, everything is new and strange. She's sort of thrown away everything that she's ever known to enter this very, very dangerous and unfamiliar world. So she has a lot of newness to deal with. And Day as well, I mean, he's been on the run all his life, but this is a little bit different because now he's on the run with someone from a class that he's never known. I mean, June is like the first person that he's ever met from the upper classes in the Republic, and he kind of doesn't know what to do with that. Like, they have a lot of awkward exchanges with each other where they just can't understand the line of thinking of the other person. I think that's something that really pulls Day out of his comfort zone, is trying to see things from June's point of view.
And they're not very good at expressing it to each other either.
No, they're not. They're sort of figuring it out, and it can get pretty ugly sometimes.
And it doesn't help now they have fallen in with the Patriots, who is a group of rebels who are trying to overthrow the Republic. And the Patriots have been trying to recruit Day for years. And now mm-hmm. it's just an even more attractive package with June and Day, because they are important to the possible revolution.
Right. And early on, that was exactly what happened. It's like what you said, Razor, who's the leader of the Patriots, tells Day that he doesn't value Day as much unless June comes with the package. So all of a sudden now they have two for the price of one, and they sort of have a celebrity status among the Patriots and in the Republic as a whole. And the Patriots are very eager to use them for that newfound status.
And June's really, she's really important to the Republic, especially because she is the super soldier.
Right. I mean, the Republic has invested a lot of time and money into this girl, and they would prefer not to have the public embarrassment of showing that she has gone to the dark side. So she is very much valuable to the Republic, and in a different way now, too, since the old elector, the dictator of the United States, or of the Republic, is gone, starting from the beginning of the second book, and a new elector has taken its place, and the new elector has all sorts of ideas for how important June might be to the Republic.
And especially because the right-hand person of the new elector generally becomes the partner in life to them. And they're thinking, well, perhaps that can be June.
Right. And in the history of the Republic, it hasn't always happened that the two are partners, both in a relationship sense and in a professional sense. But it's happened enough times that it can be an assumption that people make. So that definitely makes Day a little uncomfortable, the idea that the elector would have ideas like this.
And also, while they are with the Patriots, we get to see some of the other characters from Legend, and that's Tess and Kayade. And Tess is somebody that Day has always been able to rely on, and also mm-hmm. is somebody that he had taken care of while they were both on the run on the streets. So mm-hmm. it's interesting seeing her reaction, as well as some of the other Patriots, to June becoming one of them.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you brought up Tess, because Tess kind of has a soft spot in my heart. Like, she's very sweet and naive in book one. And in book two, she's around the age, like, of 13 or 14. So she's sort of coming into that stage where her emotions are starting to go haywire. And plus, she's growing up, hitting that important time in her life right when all this chaos is happening in her life. And for her, she and Day were inseparable when they were younger. They were the best of friends. So for her, Day means more to her than just about anything in her life. I mean, she has literally nobody else in her life who has ever cared about her in any way. So she's extremely protective of Day. And the fact that this young Republic soldier is now in their midst, it's very hard for her and for the other Patriots to trust June, that she's, you know, in the span of like a week, has flipped sides, and they're not quite sure what to make of it. And Tess has not forgotten what June has put Day through in the first book. So there's definitely a lot of tension that happens between the three of them.
And I like that you just mentioned trust, because I think trust goes along with truth. And there is mm-hmm. so much in the background about how the Republic became the Republic and then the colonies became the colonies. And we really explore that in this book. And there are so many dystopian novels that we see now that never tell us how they really got to that point. But this book really explores that.
Thank you. Thank you. I that's something that I definitely wanted to hit on in the book, because, you know, the U.S. is not in a vacuum. Like, everything around the world would have changed along with the dystopia that happens in the U.S. And I kind of wanted to explore the idea that dystopia can be a bit of a relative term. What is seen as dystopian in the Republic doesn't necessarily mean that the outside world is not dystopian, or, you know, the way the outside world views the Republic is distinctly different from how it's viewed inside the society itself. I definitely wanted to play with the idea of dystopia a little bit with the colonies, with the Republic, and later on in the series with other places in the world as well.
So we will be exploring other places in the third one.
Yes, we'll definitely be exploring some other places in the third book, but I can't say what they are yet.
There's a peripheral character in this book, and that's Eden, Day's brother. And both Day and June, they are orphans now, and they both carry with them the heavy burden on how their families have died. And at one point in the book, Day says he's hugging his entire family, which is just one person. It breaks your heart to realize that people so young have seen so much death and experienced so much sadness in their short lives.
Yeah, and I'm glad that that resonated with you. I really, this whole series is very much about familial love and the lengths that you go to protect your family. And for Day, that is all that he has left, is his little brother. And so he will move heaven and earth to make sure that his brother is okay. And I never had siblings growing up. I was totally a product of the one-child policy in China, and I always wished that I had siblings. So I find myself constantly putting this sort of sibling bond into things that I write.
That's interesting, especially because there's the loss of the sibling bond for both of them as well.
Right, exactly. And I think that's part of the reason why I really like exploring June's relationship with her older brother, too, and why Mateus, even though he died very early on in Legend, he still pops up quite frequently throughout the series.
That he does, and the listeners can find out all about it in the second novel of the Legend trilogy, Prodigy. Marie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. This was a pleasure.
Again, the name of Marie Lu's book is Prodigy, the second in the Legend trilogy. It is published by Putnam. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.